ماما ربنا إننا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبيه على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه.
And the final part of the Muhadra is one in it. The Sheikh mentioned the fact that due to the importance of sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned it in many places in the Quran. For example, by saying in Surah Al-Baqarah, all who believe, seek help in sabr and prayer. Indeed, Allah is with those who have patience, who have sabr. So a Muslim should beautify himself with having sabr. And also he said in the same surah, do you think that you will enter Jannah in the likeness or the similitude of soul of that which afflicted those before you has not afflicted you yet? The baqsa, the difficulty and the terrible trials touched them until the messenger and those who believed with him said, when is the help of Allah? Indeed the help of Allah is near. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, given an oath by the time, that indeed the whole of mankind is in a state of loss except those who believe and do good and advise one another upon the truth and to the truth and advise one another with the patience and the conviction. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started with Iman and concluded with sabr, since both of these things are mutually inclusive. And the Prophet said, no one has been given a gift more accommodating or wider than sabr. And the Prophet said that indeed knowledge is by learning, and patience or perseverance is through training, through training oneself to be patient. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said to Ashad Abdul Qais, he said that you have two features that Allah loves, and that is hilm, which means that being patient and being perseverant, and also not rushing in deciding on things enough. And he said, is it something that I have trained myself to have, or is it something that I was born with or created with by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Prophet alayhi wasallam said, this is something that Allah created you with. But at the same time, if someone is not actually naturally gifted with that kind of character, he should train himself to have patience. If he gets angry quickly and things like that, he should train himself to be patient and perseverant, to be able to tolerate, so that he has tolerance to many things. And the man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, give me some advice, and he said, don't get angry. He repeated it three times, and every time the Prophet ﷺ said, do not get angry. And also the Prophet ﷺ, he said, the strong individual in reality is not the person who can wrestle others down, or not the one who is strong in wrestling, but rather it's a person who can contain himself when he is very angry. And generally we all know that someone doesn't do or say something in a hurry except that he regrets it. Therefore the person has to train himself to have tolerance and perseverance and patience. And that is the importance of this hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ told us, indeed, beyond your time there will be the days of patience. The person who holds on to his religion or follows the sunnah, he will be like a person holding on to burning coal. and he will get the reward of 50 amongst you. And imagine yourself what the reward of 50 of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu means. The Prophet والسلام, he said, if one of you were to spend the amount of the mountain of Uhud in gold, that would not reach the mud of one of the Sahaba, which means a handful of what the Sahaba radiallahu anhu spent, or even half of that. And imagine yourself if someone says you will get the reward of the 50 of the scholars of your time, or even 50 Muslims of your time. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam says, answering the question of Mu'adh, is it 50 from them? He says, no, it's 50 from you. But who gets this reward? This reward is for those people who follow the book and the sunnah according to the understanding of their prior predecessors, not like those people who say that we have our own understanding and they actually take the text of the Quran and the sunnah according to what they understand from those texts. And this is one of the most dangerous or mistaken things that a person can do. And the ulama, the scholars of this ummah, do not exist just for nothing. They are there for a purpose. And the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets alayhi salam, who do not bequeath, who do not leave behind any money, but rather they leave knowledge. So whoever takes from it, he has indeed taken his fair share. As it is in the hadith of Abu Huraira, radiallahu anhu, that the scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. So therefore, the scholars are there to be followed and to be asked. It is obligatory upon the Muslim to ask the scholars in issues that he doesn't know. As Allah says, then ask the people of Zikr, the scholars, if you do not know. And Zikr, of course, has many meanings, and one of them is the Quran. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed we have revealed the Zikr, the Quran, as it is mentioned by the scholars of Tafsir, and we shall indeed protect it. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the people who remember Allah much, for men and women, and in this case Zikr means the Zikr that we know, the things that are there in the sunnah to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what kind of ulama, what kind of people of knowledge should we go back to? The Prophet the Quran has directed us to the type of people we are supposed to refer back to. And he said, when some matter that concerns self-security or fear comes to them, they openly proclaim it. And if they were to refer the matter back to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, and those of people who are in charge of them, then those who extract the correct information and ruling from them would have been in a position to know. So those people who do that, those are the scholars whom we must refer back to. And we have some people who unfortunately, they say we are humans and say we are men and they are men, and they don't realize that to be a man, it is not sufficient to be of the male sex. To be a real man, it is not enough to be a male. Otherwise, people like Aisha radiallahu anha, they were better than many men. And one of the people who narrates the Bukhari is Karima, a woman called Karima. And we have also Hafsa bin Sirin and many.
Hafsa.
And of course we have parted as well. We'll not be able to find you. Not like that. Very good. So there are many fine, good women, of course, just some examples here, who were better than many men. And this knowledge is only carried by those exceptional individuals from the Islamic nation, from the men and women. And you find that if you scrutinize those people who go around actually speaking ill of the scholars, you will find that they do not actually correctly do almost anything. And in terms of knowledge, you will find them very ignorant. Even more ignorant than the maybe domestic countries of their parents, unfortunately. And they become affected by people who speak maybe in an attractive way and attract their attention. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said that what I fear most upon the nation is a munafiq, a hypocrite who knows the language very well. And we find that a lot of these people, they know the language very well, and they attract the youth and others. So therefore we must correctly understand the statement of the Prophet ﷺ regarding sabr, regarding the times of sabr, regarding the reward of the 50 of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. And then the Shaykh made dua so that Allah may protect us all from all directions, and also may enable us to be from the people of taqwa and from the people of obedience to Allah, and protect us from the shayateen, the devils, and the people who plot against us, and make us those people who are leaders in guidance and in teaching. فأردت قبل أن نقص إن شاء الله نقص بعض الأسئلة. We take inshallah some of the questions before we finish, and to be just we take them in the order that they came to us. Who are the major scholars of this time, and what books do you recommend the beginner in seeking knowledge to read? من هم العلماء الكبار في عصرنا هذا وما هي الكتب التي تنصحون باقتنائها وقراءتها للمبتدئ في طلب العلم وصفات المخيرة؟
أما علماء عصرنا فهم معروفون الذين تطير إليهم الحجة من كل مكان. في العهد القريب نعم الأئمة المعروفون أئمة العصر، إمام زمانه مطلقا الإمام ابن باز رحمه الله، وإمام الحديث في عصره كما شهد له أقرانه كابن باز بن عثيمين وهو العلامة الألباني رحمه الله، والإمام محدث ديار اليمنية إمام مقبل بن هادي الواجعي، والإمام فقيه زمانه وفريد وقته في الفقه والتفسير الشيخ الإمام محمد بن عثيمين رحمه الله الجميع، وكذلك في وقتنا المعاصر بعد أن انتقل أولئك الأفكار إلى الرفيق الأعلى، نسأل الله عز وجل لهم جميعا الدرجة العلى. لم يخل الله عز وجل الزمان من علماء، فبيننا بين ظهورنا اليوم الشيخ مفتي ديار السعودية الشيخ عبد العزيز آل الشيخ، والشيخ عبد الله الغليان، والشيخ صالح بن فوزان، وآخرين هم معلومون في المملكة العربية السعودية، الشيخ عبد المحسن العباد، والشيخ الجبرين بالعز الراجحي، الشيخ رسول الله عباس محمد السبيل، والشيخ عبد المحسن العباد في المدينة، علي ناصر فقيه، أئمة الكتب الشيخ ربيع بن عادي، الشيخ عبيد الجابري، الشيخ زيد بن عالي المذهبي، الشيخ أحمد النجمي، هؤلاء في المملكة العربية السعودية. وهناك طلاب علم منتشرون في اليمن وفي الشام وفي مصر وفي المغرب وفي كل أنحاء العالم، يوجد من هم مرتبطون، طلاب علم مرتبطون بهؤلاء العلماء، يرجعون إليهم بما يشكل عليهم ولهم بهم صلات واتصالات. فنسأل الله عز وجل أن يوفق الجميع، ولكن على الإنسان أن يربط نفسه بأهل العلم. أما المبتدئ إذا كان يحسب مبتدئ بطالب العلم، فأولا لا بد أن يطلب العلم على إما عالم أو طالب علم من ثقته. أما أن نقول له طالب مبتدئ طالب علم مبتدئ اذهب واقرأ كتاب كذا وكتاب كذا، هذا لا يصلح. لا بد أن يطلب العلم على أحد سبقه في العلم، إما عالم أو طالب علم، حتى يحل له الإشكالات. ليس هو فقط كتاب يعني يدل عليه مثل ما يفعل المدارس المرحلة الابتدائية كذا المرحلة المتوسطة كذا، لا، لكن هناك تدرج في الفهم. لأن الكتاب الواحد لو قلنا له خذ الأصول الثلاثة، هل يعني هذا أن من تقدموا في العلم لا يحتاجون الأصول الثلاثة؟ نحن لا زلنا ندرسها مع مشايخنا الكبار، درسناها مرارا مع الشيخ محمد أمام، مع الشيخ عبد العزيز، مع ابن عزيز، مع كثير، ولا زال يدرسونا. ليست هي فقط الصغار، ولكن طريقة تدريسها تختلف، فالصغير يبسط له الفهم. ونفس الكتاب إذا جاء من هو يعلوه مرتبة يشرح له بطريقة أوسع وهكذا. ولكني أدل المبتدئ في طلب العلم والمبتدئ في طلب معرفة الحق إلى رسالة وجيزة في قدرها نافعة بإذن الله عز وجل، ألا وهي رسالة الدروس المهمة لعامة الأمة للشيخ عبد العزيز بن باز رحمه الله، وعليها تروح للعرفج والشرح للطويان وشرح الفائز، لا تروح، وإن شاء الله نازل قريبا على إخراج شرح باللغة الإنجليزية، وإن كان كتاب العرفج بما أعلم أنه ترجم للإنجليزية، لكننا نريد أن نخرج كتابا يكون مختصر و يعني مترجم حتى يستفيد منه يعني طلبة العلم. عموما هذا الكتاب أو هذه الرسالة الصغيرة وهي ورقة لكنها عظيمة، لأن فيها تفسير القرآن، وفيها العقيدة، وفيها العبادة، كيفية العبادات من طهارة وصلاة وقيام وحج وزكاة، وفيها حتى غسل الميت وما يتعلق بالجنائز، وفيها الأخلاق والآداب والمعاملات، وفيها التحذير من البدع، يعني رسالة جامعة وضع الشيخ فيها خلاصة علمه حتى ينتبه بها كل فئات المجتمع. وهي أيضا ليست خاصة للمبتدئ، لكنها تشرح بحسب حال المتلقي. إذا كان المتلقي جديد على طلب العلم فيبسط له الكلام تفصيل، وإذا كان متقدم يعطي قدر تقدم وهكذا حتى يصل. فتعلمون أن فيها شرح الفاتحة، وشرح الفاتحة تعلمون أن بعض العلم كابن القيم وغيره حتى مجيبه أفردها مؤلف، وهي تستحق أكثر من ذلك. ليس معنى هذا أن يعني هذا الكتاب خاص للصغار وهذا، لا، لا يفهم هذا. حتى ما يقول العلماء يبدأ الإنسان بالأصول الثلاثة، ولا يعني أنه قد أخذه على الشيخ رمه وراء ظهره ثم انتقل، لا، نفس الكتاب تحتاجه بالمرحلة الثانية، ونفس الكتاب تحتاجه لأن هذه أصول، أصول فيحتاج الإنسان للأصول. نعم الله.
Now the question was the scholars of the big scholars of today and the books that are recommended for beginners in seeking knowledge. And the Sheikh Hamzat was saying that obviously the people who are the senior scholars, those who have passed away very recently, rahimahumullah, they were known, those who used to receive questions from everywhere, and that is those, the four individuals that he mentioned, Sheikh Lubab, rahimahullah, the Imam of his time, and the Muhaddith of his time, Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, and the Muhaddith of Yemen, Sheikh Muqbil, and the Faqih of his time, Sheikh Mahsayun, rahimahullah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not leave any time without any scholars. So therefore we have many scholars now, most of them in Saudi, like we have the Mufti Sheikh Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh, we have Sheikh Abdullah al-Budayan, we have Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan, we have Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Habbad, Sheikh Jibreen, Sheikh Rasulullah al-Abbad, we have Sheikh Subayn, we have Sheikh Fatihi, we have Sheikh Ahmed Najmi, Sheikh Al-Madkhali, and many others who are present in Saudi Arabia. There are students of knowledge, the Sheikh said, in Yemen, in Egypt, in Sham, and other places. They are, of course, closely linked and tied with these scholars. And a student of knowledge should always have a habit of referring back to the scholars and linking and tying himself and having a close relationship with the scholar. So therefore it is probably not wise for us to just say read this book and that, but rather our advice is to try and find a scholar or a student of knowledge who can help him in his studies, and then slowly slowly he goes through his seeking of knowledge, and even though he may study a book when he starts off as a beginner, he may still refer back to it when he goes through different stages of learning, like he gave the example of the three principles. He said we studied with Sheikh Nabal and with other sheikhs, and we still study. So therefore it's very important for people to refer, because these are the main principles upon which he builds and bases his study and his religion. And one of the beneficial books is the book by Sheikh Nabal Rahimahullah, that important lessons in teaching the nation of Islam, the Islamic nation rather, because this book contains, we can say, the knowledge of the Sheikh in a very concise form, from Tafsir and Haqida, we have the belief and the explanation of the Quran, we have acts of worship, we have different types of transactions, we have the fiqh, we have the adab, the manners of the Muslim. All of these are actually, this book is suitable for all members of the society. So therefore, these are important things to know, the same way as when we learn and go through a certain book, we can always refer back to it. So to give an example of Surah Al-Fatiha, some people like Sheikh Al-Islam al-Taymiyyah rahimahullah and Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, they actually authored books regarding Surah Al-Fatiha. And of course it deserves more than that, and therefore these are the usul, the foundations upon which the person bases his study and his religion.
لأن في ثلاثة أسئلة.
Shall we take? We've got three more questions. We take them the way they came, because I didn't have time to read and say that this is more important than the other. So we just take them as they came in chronological order. ما رأي فضيلتكم في ما يسمى بحزب الله أو بالأخص أو
اترك الثاني.
وما نصيحتكم للشباب
المتعاطف؟
بارك الله فيكم.
والله نصيحة ان الانسان ينشغل بامر نفسه كما سمعتم حديث المحاضرة. النصيحة ان الانسان ينشغل بنفسه. انت ما هي علاقتك بولاي؟ لا علاقة لك بها. لا تستطيع نفسك يعني في مقام المسؤولية كرؤساء الدول حتى تستطيع نصرهم سياسيا، وليس يعني بيدك شيء حتى تفعل شيء. ولكن الذي أنصح به أن الإنسان يقبل على أمر نفسه، وأنا متأكد أني أول واحد فيكم لو فتشت في نفسي ولا أحتاج إلى كثير جهد سأجد ما يشغلني من الآفات التي عندي من سوء الأخلاق، من تقصير، من كذا، ما يتطلب مني وقت كثير حتى أصلح نفسي. وهكذا أظن أن كل واحد منا كذلك، ولو كل واحد منا أقبل على نفسي لرأيت أمة تهابها كل الأمم، لكن لما هن على الله هن في عيون الناس، فصار الناس لا يعلمون بها. لكن لما كان الناس يخافون الله ويتقون زمن الصحابة كان الكفار يخافونهم ويهابونهم. فيحتاج أن أولا نشتغل بأنفسنا. أما على حزب الله فمعلوم هو حزب رافضي أسسته دولة الرافض إيران، وهو قائم على يعني عبادة غير الله من آل البيت وغيرهم، وقائم على تكفير أهل السنة وإن كانوا سياسيا يتلونون، فما هو حتى في عقيدته يتلونون. لكن أقول يا أخوان من باب التعريف، ولا أعني أن الإنسان يطير بها ويشتغل بها، لا. أنا أقول أعد نفسك ليوم يفر المرء فيه من أخيه وأمه وأبيه وصاحبته وبنيه. ينبغي الإنسان كما قال عز وجل لكل امرئ منهم يومئذ شأن يغنيه، فأنت أعد نفسك لذلك اليوم ودعهم ما لك ولهم، الله يعني يعاملهم بما يستحقون. الله أعلم.
The answer to that question is regarding your question, of course, that just translate. What is your opinion regarding Hezbollah, and what is your advice to those people who sympathize with them? The answer to that is that the person should engage in improving himself and getting himself closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you search yourself, and of course the Sheikh, he said, I will be the first to do that. If you search yourself, you will find a lot of things that you can improve in yourself. So therefore, alaykum salam wa sallam. So therefore, the person should busy himself with that, and he is not in a position to change anything in politics or world politics. He is not in a position of a ruler or anything like that, or a president of a country or a head of a state to do that. So therefore, he should engage himself in that. But just to clarify some issues, we must know that the organization called Hezbollah is an organization that is from the Rafida. A lot of people know now as Shia, of course, the correct is to say the Rafida. And the state set up by Iran, which professes the belief of the Rafida. And they, of course, do takfir of the people of the Sunnah. They do takfir of the people of the Sunnah, even though politically they wouldn't acknowledge that. And even in their religion, they have that. So the person should prepare himself out and engage himself in that, prepare himself for the day when he will be fleeing from his wife and children and brother and father and mother and everyone, because he will have something that will make him forget that he will be busy with himself. So the person should prepare himself for that day. And after... they worship the family of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, so therefore this is something very important. And أردت أن أشكر شيخنا وحبيبنا صديقنا الشيخ محمد نسأل الله أن يجزيه خيرا على هذه المحاضرات القيمة وأن يجعل هذا في ميزان حسناته، ونرجو منه بإذن الله أن يرجع إلينا ويستمر في الزيارة في المستقبل القريب بإذن الله. وكذلك نشكر كل إخواننا وأخواتنا الذين اشتركوا في هذه المحاضرات وساعدونا وعاونونا. We just wanted to thank the Sheikh, first of all, for attending and giving us these excellent lectures. And we hope, inshallah, he will continue coming and benefiting us. And we hope that Allah will reward him. And also, I would like to, since last time, I mentioned certain things today. I would like to mention some good things. So since there was lots of pizza and everything else, so a lot of cheese on it. So we would like just to make it clear that the brothers, many of them, Zaman Mahera helped, and they did a lot of good. So may Allah reward all of them, and also everyone who made it possible. Was Zaman Mahera. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.
أولا أحب أن أختم هنا بشكر الله عز وجل على أن أتاح لي التقاء إخواني في مدينة مصر في بريطانيا، وأحمد الله عز وجل على ما رأيت من تمسكهم وتماسكهم على خلاف أعراقهم وبناتهم، ما جمعهم إلا حب هذا الدين ونصرته. نسأل الله عز وجل أن يبارك في جهودهم وأعمالهم وأموالهم وأهليهم، وأن يجعلهم يوم القيامة في زمرة المتقين مع النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين، ويجعلنا كذلك معهم في ذلك المقام الرفيع. شكر الله لكم، وشكر الله لأخي عمران على قيامه بهذا البيت المبارك بالترجمة، ونسأل الله عز وجل أن يجمعنا وإياكم قريبا على الحق والهدى، إنه على ذلك قدير وبالإجابة كبير. الله أعلم، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله.
The Sheikh would like to thank first of all Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving him the opportunity to reach us in Lecture, and secondly the brothers who he has seen hold on together and cooperation with one another, despite that they are of different nationalities and different backgrounds and everything like that. So and he hopes inshallah that we will continue doing this, and all the brothers who took part in this. Jazakumullah khair.
Assalamu alaikum. Kaif halak? Khair alaikum.